look in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and the reason why I'm going to look in Hebrews 11th chapter for a moment is because when we were talking about in Hebrews the 4th and 5th chapter, when we were talking about not all the people who came into the wilderness with God, all of them came as equal. One thing you need to know, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Sound all right? Can you hear me, Ella Jenkins? Okay, good. Sophia, can you hear me? Thumbs up, whatever. Anything?
Yes. That's India. Yeah.
I got it from India. One thing you need to know, when everybody comes to Jesus, when you come to the Lord, all the people came through the Red Sea and all of them came out of Egypt. When you come to the Lord, everything is equal. Everybody gets saved the same way. There's no special salvation for one. Everybody gets saved the same way. This is one of the things that God showed Naaman when Elijah told him to go dip in the Jordan. He thought that because of who he was, there should have been some great ceremony in his to bless him and whatever. But in God, everybody starts out the same place, sinners. And the salvation is the same. It doesn't matter what your name is, what your family pedigree is, where you came from. It doesn't matter if you're being saved and you're the world's biggest sinner or whether you've actually been a very good person all your life. The salvation is the same. It's the same cross, same blood, same death, same burial, same resurrection. That only happened one time. You either partaker of that one or you're not partaker of any. So one thing about Israel, when Paul talks about them in Hebrews, he says everybody started out the same. And not only so, but he says the same gospel is taught to you, the same Christ that you have to save you, the same blood that washes, the same powerful death burial, the same powerful resurrection that gives you new life, the same Holy Ghost that they had, that we have now.
Yes.
So he says, but there were some of them in the wilderness that God was not pleased with. And they did some things, and many of us, when we come to the Lord, or when God makes a way, because God is always making a way for people to be saved. No one's going to be able to say to God in the day of judgment, for which won't review, that doesn't apply to us, because we will already be changed and glorified. But for those who come up to the judgment, to the great white throne judgment, no one's going to be able to say to God, you did not give me an opportunity to be saved.
Yeah.
No one's going to be able to say, you didn't give me an opportunity to be a partaker of Christ's blood or Christ's life. And it's proved so many times in the Word of God, because the people will say, well, what about all those people that David slew, men, women, and children? And did they get a chance to know about God? Yes, they did, because they knew about God's people. It was God's people they were fighting.
Yes.
They could have known God's people's God. Say, so, well, how do we know that? Because Rahab did.
Yes.
And their example, Ruth did.
Yes.
So, you know, and God is a just God and a mighty God. And so the door is open, you know, very wide for anyone who will. If you will have God, God stands there waiting for you. And everybody needs him. So when Paul says in Hebrews, he says, with whom was he not pleased? And he says, those that fell in the wilderness, they saw me and tempted me, he says, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And he says, they tried him for 40 years and they never would believe. And they never would turn around and do what they were supposed to do. And he gave them ample opportunities to come to him and to change their ways and to do things. In 3 and 9, when my fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work for 40 years.
Yes.
40 years, he says, and I was grieved with that generation. In other words, he said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my wrath. He said, they never seem to quite get it right. Even for some people, even when they sit in church, they're looking for reasons not to be. We just ought not do that. We have to come to it after a while that you really need God.
Yes.
But one of the things that I'll show you tonight, and it's in us today, but what they had in the wilderness we have now. Turn to Exodus, the 12th chapter. And take that back. Exodus, the 14th chapter, I guess. Exodus, the 14th chapter. I've seen people, you come to God, get them to come to church and get them to do things, and then things happen. Everybody say things happen.
Things happen.
Immediately, one of the first things they say, or the devil happens, says, you were doing better before you came to God.
Yes, yes.
You know, your life was better before you came to God. Especially if when you come to God, you have a spouse who will not come, and you're trying to work it out. And when you come to God, it turns around. I've seen it so that it doesn't work out. And you'll say to yourself, I was better off without God. You're making a choice.
Yes.
And I just use that as an example because that's not the only one. It could be a myriad of them, because it doesn't matter to the devil what turns you around as long as you can turn around.
Turns you around, yes.
And it doesn't, and it's in losing, not having eternal life, for whatever reason that you don't have eternal life, it's of no consequence. The point is that you don't have it.
Yes.
And you can use any excuse you want, but it'll really always come back to you. You can say there were bad preachers, there were bad churches, there were bad people, there was this, I didn't like that. Life treated me wrong. You know, I watched my mom, my dad, they were hypocrites. You can just go on and on. You can do it all you want. But the bottom line is you can't blame anyone for not being saved, since God comes directly to you.
Yes, yes.
And since the Holy Spirit is available to you.
You, yes.
And since the Word of God is available to you. And even though you need a good preacher, and you need a good teacher, and you need someone to lead you in the way, because God has always chosen men and women to be leaders, God will send someone to you, and God will make people available to you, so that when it comes down to it, you won't be able to say to God, the reason why I'm not saving you, because you didn't take every opportunity to save me, because God does.
Yes.
And then among us who preach and teach the Word of God, then it's up to us to make sure that we always do like Moses and make sure that we tell the people from the very beginning, there's going to be some difficult days, but at the end of it is a promised land.
Yes, yes.
There's two sets of difficult days. One of them is just coming out of sin at all. And then some of the difficult days that you face in getting to the rest, some of the difficult days and times that you face in getting to the rest in God, is the change that has to come in your life.
Yes.
You're used to not having to obey God or listen to God, or you're doing pretty much what you want. You're like a baby when you start taking the bottle away, when you start potty training them. They're used to life as short as it is at that time of doing just what they want. And then, but for their good.
Yes.
You don't take the bottle away from a child or teach a child to drink out of a cup because you don't like the child or because you just don't like the bottle. You teach them to do that because this is something that if they're going to have any success in life, they're going to have to do. You don't potty train them for your good. You potty train them for their good. And every other social grace that you teach, if you're a good parent, you teach them because they're going to need it. They're going to have to learn to count, whether they want to learn to count or not. And they're going to have to learn how to do all these things. And if it takes you taking not an abusive hand, but a strong, firm hand, lovingly, to get them to do it, this is what we're willing to do because we absolutely know they need it.
Yeah.
And then it comes, and then when they've got it and life moves on, then they quickly realize, what would I have done if no one had taught me to read? And how would I have made it if no one had taught me to count? It's the same way in God. So in that transition period, when you come out of God, you've left your comfort zone. You might have been suffering in sin, but you were comfortable in it.
Mm-hmm.
You had learned to live with it, however it was, and had gotten along with it. And when God pulls you out of it for a moment, you resist because it's taking you away from something at least that you know.
Yeah.
And this is when faith comes in and trust comes in. And this is when God moves in such great ways to show you that He is God, if you will allow it. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, and about the 10th verse, and I won't read a lot of it, they come out of Egypt. Egypt, as we know, represents sin in the most profound way, in the most absolute way. It is the I don't know of many places in the Bible that we use to represent sin in the natural world more than we use Egypt, because just, you know, practically every sin that you can name was in Egypt, starting with idolatry, adultery, killing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, was all that in Egypt? Yes, because when the people who came out of Egypt came out, they brought all of it with them, so it had to have been there. Many of the things you say now, when they start to be identified in the house of God, and people say, well, with all that in them all along? Yes, because they brought it with them.
Yeah.
Some things, they didn't pick them up when they started coming to church. They had it when they came.
Yeah.
It just surfaced. It's just like in marriage. Some of the things in marriage, some things you change, and hopefully you change for all the good ones, but some of the things that that you discover about one another in marriage, it didn't start when you got married. It was there all along.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't realize it. So then in Exodus, the 14th chapter, and about verse 10, Pharaoh is closing out Egypt on Israel, and Israel's back to the Red Sea. And this is difficult, because Moses has promised them when he brought them out that God was going to lead them to the, you know, to a land filled with milk and honey, and they were going to move into this land, and everything they needed was going to be there. And milk and honey means that it's a good life.
Yeah,
it's a good life. It's not going to be a difficult time. And God can make this promise because God knows what He's talking about. When we come to the Lord, He says to us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added." He can say that because He's able to do that, and does do that if you're given the opportunity. He doesn't at this time, as Christ says, take you out of the world. So there is some evil in the world, always will be, until Christ comes and changes it. But God is there to see you through, and the Lord will see you through. And there is some heartbreaking, and some things are not right, and some of it, some residual, at least for me, I'm sure that God loves me so much that He doesn't let me become too independent in the world. It's sad to say that I couldn't be more independent, but I have to accept it for what it is, because it keeps me saved, and God has a greater thing in store for me than what's in the earth, and He would rather me have some lack in the earth and have eternal life. And I know there's just a whole lot of faith folk will say, "Ah, that's not true. I don't buy that. You don't have it because you don't speak it. You don't this, you don't that." Well, perhaps you don't have it because you don't speak it and all that. But for me, you know, I've tried every way, and I've come down to it that the blessings and grace that I receive from God, God blesses me to the extent that He's able to do, and for me to continue to stay safe for where I am. And if there's any growth in God that will come, and any more greatness that will come in God, it means that it's because He's able to change me more.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm willing to do. At least I think I am. And verse 10 in Exodus 14 and 10. So we have this mindset, because the devil comes and he whispers in people's ears. And the devil is real. You know, if someone walked in here today for the first time they were ever in church, can't, you know, there's some things we're trying to preach and teach in a more understandable way, a more gentle way, which we need to do because Jesus was very gentle. But I cannot not tell you that the devil is real, because he is.
Yes.
And that's something that's absolute, that's inescapable. Heaven is real. Those. There are some absolutes that no matter how gentle we do it, and no matter how kind we say it, they remain the same and need to be so. So Pharaoh, who here represents the agent of the devil, he's chasing Israel. He lets them go, and he does like the devil often does. He does so much. He lets them go, and as soon as they're gone, he makes up his mind, "I'm not going to let them go." And he goes after them. He pursues. Verse 10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Now, I want you to see in chapter 13, which is on the same page in my Bible, might not be in yours, but verse 21 in chapter 13. Everybody there, verse 21 in chapter 13?
Yes.
"And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Which means that in those days, if you were with the children of Israel, you only had to look up and see the movement of God.
Yes.
it was not difficult. You didn't have to really, you know, it didn't require any faith. Things that are seen don't require faith. Romans tells you that. Yes. Those things we see, you don't require faith. You see those.
Yes.
It didn't require any faith to see that pillar of cloud by day, that pillar of fire by night. They could see that God was with them. They could just look up and see that. And if we don't open our eyes sometimes, we can see that God is with us.
Yeah.
But we allow ourselves to be blinded sometimes because of our wrongdoing, and sometimes because we just don't do the right things. And the devil, the enemy, works with our soul life and our mind, and he convinces us that we're never going to be right.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be if it were not for God.
Please
forgive me. But anyway, they know this, and when they look up and see Pharaoh coming, the pillar of cloud doesn't go away, nor the pillar of fire.
Yes.
God is still with them.
Yes.
And they said unto Moses in 14 and 11, that's where I am now. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And so they're saying something that the devil likes to hear us say when we have a difficult time. I'd have been better off not even coming over here.
Yeah.
You know, I was better before I even came down to this church.
Yes.
I was, you know, I wish I'd never mentioned.
Yes.
We you know, the devil will have you do all those things, and he'll have you say from time to time, I was better off.
Yeah.
Especially among young believers, before you get rooted and grounded.
Yeah.
And God doesn't walk off and leave young believers because of that, because he knows them.
Yeah.
And this pillar of cloud by day and by night, if you notice in verse 13 and 22, he took that not away from them the whole time they were in the wilderness. And they did all kinds of things, but God didn't leave them.
Yeah.
God won't leave you either. But if you've ever said, I should have never even tried, you know, that's what I get for trying.
Yeah.
Well, tonight's your night to say, you know what, I was wrong to say that.
I was wrong to say that, yes.
It was good I came to God.
Yes. Yes.
God, I'm glad I'm here.
Mm.
Lord, I'm glad I have Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for the Holy Ghost. And whatever state I'm in, I'm glad I'm here.
Yes.
And I'm glad that the Lord still speaks to me through the Word of God, through the people of God. I'm glad that I still hear mention of His name, and that He has not been taken out of my knowledge, as it says in Romans. They didn't want to keep God in their knowledge. Another example, and I can go through several. When they get to the, as soon as they get into the land, about 3 days in, then it comes again. They don't have any water. And then they say to Moses again, it would have been better in 17 and 3. The people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses again and said, therefore is this thou that brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? My Lord. Before I started coming to church, and I use this one because, God, you know, one thing I really hate, I wish that every time somebody came to God that had a bad marriage, it would work out.
Yeah.
God knows I do. I do. But you know, if anybody, when everybody, and I'll just use this for the night, and this is not a marriage seminar, but the reason why there are bad marriages is not because of God or anybody else. It's a bad marriage is because people, the two people that make the marriage, something in them doesn't work. Something in them doesn't come together right.
Yeah.
It may be that it could have been someone that you never should have married to start with.
Place, yep.
Or, let me change that, they never should have married you to start with. Or it may be that the two of you are so far from being enough. Now, if you were both exactly like God would have you be and be filled with the Spirit, God could get in there and work it out, because He could resolve the issues, because God is a reasonable God.
Yeah.
And the reason why marriages fail is because someone, or both of you, or one of us, is unreasonable.
Yes.
That's just the bottom line.
Yes.
And because of that, the Bible refers to it as hardness of heart.
Yeah.
And so God allowed Moses to allow people whose hearts were hard enough that they could not come together to divorce.
Yeah.
Therefore, that's the reason why I say the church world that I grew up in had it kind of wrong, because they said, well, all divorce is unscriptural unless it's for fornication. That's not true.
Yeah.
What it talked about doing was not remarrying unless it was for fornication. But you could be divorced simply because the two of you can't get along.
Don't
kill each other.
Yeah.
So a marriage for a divorce for irreconcilable differences is a godly marriage, is a godly divorce.
Yes.
That's what it's there for. So the children of Israel, a little sidebar there, but the children of Israel when they came into the wilderness, every time something went wrong, they had this mindset of, we should have never even come.
Yeah.
They never, now, not all of them, because you find out in Hebrews, if we go back, and I've come up with a whole lot of scriptures I could have used to show that, but I've shown you enough. But if you go back to Hebrews, about the fifth chapter, not all of them fell in the wilderness, the Bible says. He says, not all of them. In verse 3 and 16, for some, when they had heard the Holy Spirit, he has here, if you had an amplifier to say, had heard, did provoke, in other words, they rebelled. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? In other words, sin here simply wouldn't obey God for whatever reason.
Right.
Whatever their sin might have been, whether it was immorality or whatever, they wouldn't obey God. He wasn't upset with all. There's always someone who's going to live safe and someone who's going to live holy.
Yeah.
And even then, there were some. But I'll look at one more example, and then we'll move on to Hebrews 11th chapter. I guess I have to show you that one. It's in Numbers chapter 14, and I'm dealing with this thought of that comes sometimes in a great way, sometimes it moves people, and sometimes it's just a passing thought. But when it comes, that you should not come back to God, shouldn't be in God, should have never been in God. And for all young believers and all those who haven't been in, haven't been around for 30, 40, whatever, however it is, for any one of us, I want you to know that thought has never come from God.
Yeah.
There's never a time when you're in God when a thought comes from, maybe I shouldn't have been, maybe it's the wrong thing, maybe I shouldn't have done this. There are many things. Maybe there's some of the things that I've done since I've been in God that I thought were God was not God, but being in God has never been wrong.
Wrong, right, yes.
That sounded kind of tongue twisted. Maybe in the time that I've been in God, maybe I've preached some sermons that I probably shouldn't have preached, and maybe I've rebuked when I shouldn't have rebuked, and maybe I've been impatient when I shouldn't have been impatient. And the list is long of the things that, as you're growing in God, you would probably do different.
Yes.
But one of the mistakes that I've made has never been coming to God. Mm-hmm. Coming to God was not a mistake.
No.
Allowing the Lord to come in my life was not a mistake. Maybe
yes.
I've had to come and repent more than anybody else I know. Maybe I have. But coming to God was not a mistake.
Right.
Staying with God and insisting, insisting on being with God no matter what. The devil beats you till you're down to you. And then he gets you to go along with him. And then after he gets you to go along with him, he comes back and double crosses you and tells you how wrong you were. Well, get up and go on back to God.
Mm.
Staying with God has never been a mistake. So every time Israel was turning, every time Israel looked up, they always had this same thing.
Yeah.
Should have stayed in Egypt. Now they forgot how difficult the times were in Egypt, because we forget that sin is not great all the time. Really remember in my life, and this is not everybody, because we have some party people who are saved and they used to love to party. I was never one of them. I don't ever remember going to a party that I could just honestly say, God, I'm so glad I was there. I'm sure glad I didn't miss that one. I mean, in my life, I went because I was, part of the people, the party, the people who went and did all those things, and I did the best I could, but that just wasn't me.
Yeah.
But some people really loved it, but when it really comes down to looking at my past life, I just don't have that many. Once I got to be above a teenager, now when I was real young, in the juvenile stage, Oh, yeah, that was a lot of great days. I had a lot of fun. I did a lot of stuff. Built trees, houses, built go-karts, did all kinds of stuff. But once I passed that 16, 17-year age, I don't have a whole lot of days. I enjoyed them. I was in bands. I did all those things. But when I look at them now, there's nothing back there that I wish I could go back to. There isn't. Matter of fact, I even have some, you know, a lot of people won't say it, but I will. I don't mind. My walk in God, my years of growth in God, I don't desire to go back to any point in life in God.
I don't.
I'm glad of where I am in God. I've made enough blunders and mistakes and miscues and ups and downs and whatever. I don't wish for if I could go back to the blissful years, the years where, you know, you don't have problems, you don't have concerns, I guess that put me back in Faith Temple. I was just having lots of fun working on the church, playing bass, playing with all the musicians and doing that. And first couple of years in Full Gospel Fellowship, and I did not say New Full Gospel, I said Full Gospel Fellowship. I knew what I said, because that's the church that we started. The first couple of years of Full Gospel Fellowship, you know, here again, the musicians, I enjoyed all that. But then when I got acknowledged the call of the preacher, when I started teaching, then the work started.
Yes.
As Paul says, when I was a child, I acted as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. David was a musician until it was time for him to become king. And then he had to do something different. All of us, our play days are when we're in elementary school and things, but as soon as we hit junior high school, work starts.
Yes.
You don't go to a job every day, but work starts, life starts.
Yes.
It's the same way in God. And you can't give up in those, and you can't give up in God, because there's a reward.
Yes.
There is a land that flows with milk and honey. It's the reward. In our careers, it's the paycheck. It's the perks. It's the bennies. It's the medical. It's the good life. It's the house. It's the car. Maybe not the ultimate dream car, but a car we like and can afford if it's mine. And it's the education and all those things. And it works out, and it's the openings and the opportunities, and God will see you through no matter what, even though it's difficulty all around you. But you can't keep on. You can't keep saying over and over again, "I should have never been here."
No.
Wish I'd never been here.
Yes.
Oh, there are many things I would prefer not to have done, but they're done now.
Yes.
And the idea is there. I don't want to go back to that stage again.
Right. Yes.
It was for me then.
Yes.
But growth comes. I don't wish I was 25 again, or 35, or 45, for that matter. Matter of fact, you kind of shift gears now, and now I'm really looking towards eternal life. So, well, you got some years left. I do, but my mind is
towards eternal life.
You know, I want to do another one in Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 16, and this is when they have gone up to, they've sent the spies up, and they come back, and they say that, you know, the land is there, but, you know, we're not so sure we're able to take it. And all this, you know, Numbers 11, let me try that one first. Numbers 11 and 4. And when the, 11 and 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the other parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. In other words, Moses had to always stay between the people. He was a type of Christ. They could make God so angry. God would bless them in the hand. You know, God bless them every day. And yet they're complaining. And it says when the people complained, it wasn't just they were complaining because of this and that. They were complaining about God.
Yeah.
And the way the Lord had brought them. Is this really God?
Yeah.
And just, you know, 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" Now, lusting here is not referring to them falling into sex sins. they just became, what's the word we use all the time when someone's just dissatisfied? You know, they just wanted something, you know, it's like me and Paul run around the house sometimes and we have, you know, pantry full, freezer can't get any more space in it, refrigerator full, we have to bring some stuff down to the church sometimes, take it in the freezer every now and then, you know, if it's a big ham or something else, we can't get it on the shelf and stuff like that. And we'll sit there at night, we'll look at each other and watch the TV and say, well, I want something. I said, what do you want? I don't know. And so then Paula is good shit with me on this. Well, we got this in there. I don't want that. We got this in there. I don't want that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just want something, but you don't even know what it is. Just want something.
Something, yes.
And the children of Israel that were that way, yes. You can be in God and watch being restless in God, because when you become restless in God, you're probably being drawn to something other than God. That's why it says they fell in lust.
Right, yeah.
They had a strong desire for something that was not there. And it wasn't, and even though they complained, you have to know that they didn't just eat manna. They did have meat, because they had cattle and sheep and goats and oxen. They had all these things, because they had to use them from time to time for sacrifices. But God never gave them just enough of the sacrifice.
Yes.
He gave them enough that they should have sacrifices and plenty. So manna was something he gave from above. That was a miracle. It fell every morning. But they also had other things to eat. They had, you know, because otherwise they couldn't offer up all these meat offerings. And meat offerings in the Bible doesn't refer to, change the word meat into groceries.
Yes.
They could offer what they had available to eat from time to time. And five, and it says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. Well, they probably didn't have any fish. They're in the middle of the wilderness. freely. And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. You forgot that you were being beat while you were getting them, when you could get them, and how bad life was. And you're saying, you know, for this, I would go back under bondage. But now our soul is dried up. There is nothing at all besides this manna before your eyes. And I, when I was a child, I really was a long time ago. we used to say to our mother, ain't nothing in here to eat. There's all kinds of stuff in there.
Yep.
Just what we wanted.
That's right.
You know, and this is where they were. They were like whining children. And they just, you know, we're always, it was always something. But then in 14, Korah says to them, he tells them, we need to go back to Egypt. And he tells them, in verse number 16 and 13, is it a small thing, they always bring this up, that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey? When was Egypt ever flowing with milk and honey? You were in bondage. I don't mean to insult anyone, because I grew up in West Philly, and that sure isn't bird the suburbs. But it's like the people who have nothing living in the deepest inner city neighborhood, but they love the hood.
Yes, yeah.
Well, you know, I don't mean to insult you because of where you lived or where you were born, because where a child is born, he has no control
over.
You know, you're born wherever your parents are born.
Yeah.
But you do need to have the mindset of, but I need to get out of here.
Yes, yeah.
I need for my children to get out of here.
Yes.
I need for them to do better than this. I don't want them to be in this all their life. I want them to see them do something. And this is how God feels about it. You need to get out of here.
Yeah.
When you came down to Egypt, yes, Joseph was rich, but during the years, you've lost all that. And regimes have changed, and times have changed. And the reason why all these things have changed, why have they changed, everybody? Because God wanted them to go back to the place where they were supposed to be.
They
should have probably gone back there a long time ago when they got the life in Egypt and stayed there. He wanted them to go back to where they were supposed to be, because these people represented God. They're supposed to be a light to the world. And not only so, as he told Abraham, not just a light to the Jews only, but a light to the Gentiles.
Gentiles, yes.
They're supposed to be, and so he makes this statement once again. It's, he brought us out of a land of milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether prince over us. It's all sorts of accusations. And when you get restless in God, when any of us get restless in God, we have to be careful whether or not we will allow the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'll talk and I'll complain to Ellen Smith because she and I can see her confidence, and or we're just talking among ourselves and the closest ones. And I have to be careful sometimes, and sometimes I ask God to forgive me because you have to be very, I don't think, and now don't misunderstand me. I don't think you need to be afraid of somebody that you say stuff about and you'll drop dead, because I'm going to tell you the truth. People talked about Jesus, they didn't drop dead.
That's right.
So, you know, you can just lose that fear. But I'll tell you what you do need to do. If you find out you're wrong, you need to repent. But as far as just saying, I'm scared to talk about so-and-so, I'll drop dead. People didn't drop dead from talking about Jesus, and they not only talked about him, they spit on the man, pulled on his beard. And I'm not Jesus, so, you know, you don't have to have that kind of fear. What you need to do is fear the Holy Ghost. You need to have a reverential fear that says to you, you said too much. And he'll say to me, you said too much, and he'll tell me why. And I can feel like I shouldn't have probably said what I said, and the person that I'll repent to is God. I don't call the people that, well, I was talking about you tonight, I just want you to know I'm sorry. No. That's like rubbing an ink spot, you know. No. God just says, you know, and the reason why he's telling you, because he says, you know, that's corruptible. It's corruptible. Maybe you're talking to someone and you know what you're talking about and you can live with it, but it's a burden for them. However it works out. But let me go down to Hebrews. So we want to be careful that once we come to God, don't allow things to come and cause you to say to yourself, I should have just kept on being like I was being. You sit home, get mad sometimes because you feel like God hasn't answered a prayer. Hey, I know about that. I know all about that. Done it before myself. And then the first thought comes is, well, you need to just do something else and not even go back. And the Holy Ghost comes in real quick and says, and then how are you going to get to heaven?
Heaven, that's right, yes.
I do believe in heaven. If you don't believe in heaven, I do believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not saved.
Yes, that's right.
So he steps in and says to me, and the Holy Ghost comes in, every time I think about, oh, I've thought about it many times, you know. It's almost as many times I thought about slamming the door on my mother. I didn't slam the door on my mother because I knew better than that, because I had to walk back through it at some point in time.
Right.
That was not a wise thing to do. And if you've ever thought of walking out on God, I want to say to anyone tonight, if God got you here, for God's sake, it is not wise to walk out on Him. And God, and my mother was probably ruder than God, and God is kinder than my mother was. But the point being is then how are you going to make it to heaven? And heaven is real. It's not going away. And for those of us who are on our way, we don't want it to go away. And when you understand eternal life and eternity and these little short momentary lives, our lives are but a vapor, you know I must have God. I cannot spend eternity separate from God. It's too much. God is too wonderful and hell is too terrible. I've got to get myself, right. I can't, if I have to pray all day, move, do whatever I need to do, fast, find me a church where I can just sit in the back and just soak up the word for a while until I get myself together, and just listen, and if they call me down for prayer, I can say, I don't even want to come down for prayer, just let me sit here and just absorb the word, whatever you can do. But you must have God. So he says in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter now, and I'm finishing up. Because remember he said that, who was God displeased with? And I want to show you the difference here between who he was displeased with and what he was not. If you look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews about verse number, verse number 1, as a matter of fact, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's my faith in God. I have this earnest desire for heaven, and I truly expect for it to be there. I know that it is. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Is that what it says? Because of their faith in God. And so when we see Joshua, I didn't finish the rest of it. But when you go back and read it for time's sake, it says Joshua had another spirit. He had the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Joshua and Caleb knew that they could take the land. Their mind was different. They could go over.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how big the giants were. It didn't matter what the limitation was, because they had someone who was greater than all of them, and that someone was God. Mm-hmm. God is their advantage.
Yes.
They can do it. Their faith is in God. They're not counting on themselves to be able to take the land anyway. They're counting on God.
Yeah.
Don't you remember all the way back, and because God had told them a long time ago, and it's in Exodus 2, and I love reading the Old Testament, because if you don't read the Old Testament, you don't have a basis for the New Testament. Somewhere along the line, oh yes, it's in Exodus 23. And God tells them in Exodus 23 and 20, Behold, I send my angel before thee to keep thee in the way, 23 and 20, and to bring thee into the place where I have prepared. In other words, he says, I'm sending someone. They're going to get you in.
Yes.
You don't have to depend on yourself. They're going to get you in. Just like for me, I have the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't have to get myself into heaven. I have somebody. He's going to get me in.
Yes.
When Jesus comes, I don't have to try to fly up to meet him on the cloud. I have someone who's going to get me, who's going to change me and get me up there. That's the Holy Ghost. He's going to get me in.
Yes.
And God says to them, I'm going to send my angel before you, and he's going to bring you into this place. He's going to do what he needs to do to get you to where I want you to go. But you have to obey him and be aware of him and listen to him and follow him, he says. And not transgress. You have to stay with him, because in these days he's saying that basically you would die. In our days you will die spiritually, because he will leave you.
Yes, yes.
If you don't obey the spirit will. Yes.
Yes.
But he had promised them something in verse number 23. 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries? For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hevites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. I will take care of them.
Yes.
I'll work that out.
Yeah.
Whatever you need in God, God says, if you will stay with me, I will go before you and I will work it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll fix it.
Yeah.
When you get there, you'll be all right.
Yes.
When when a person is saved, if you'll allow the Lord to save you, just let the Lord come in.
Yes.
Just ask him to come in, and say, Lord, just come in. And every day, when you get up, not only say glory to God, thank you, Jesus, but say, come in, Jesus.
Yes.
Come in, Lord. Come into my life even more. Fill me more with the Spirit. When you're angry, ask God, Lord, fill me more with the Spirit. And when you're disappointed, ask God, Lord, fill me more with the Spirit.
Yes.
When things don't go right, ask God, fill me more with the Spirit. Because I'm feeling down. My natural self, my soul is saying, what's the use? I need more of the Holy Spirit to encourage me and remind me that you're going to keep me in the way and that you're bringing me along the way that I should come. I need this reassurance that I have you. I need to see this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night in the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. I need him to come in, and I need him to remember me. God, I need him to remind me that God is the one who's delivering, and that God is the one who's bringing me, and God's working this out. My portion is to hold on to God.
Yes.
My portion is to obey God.
Yes.
And where the Lord leads me, and this is, when you read in the Wilderness Church, it says that when God wanted them to stay someplace, the cloud would sit right on the temple. And they would not move as long as that cloud sat on the temple. And when God was ready for them to move, the cloud would lift. And wherever the cloud went, they went.
Yeah.
It was the presence of God.
Yeah.
We need to learn to be the same way, that when God is still, we're still. And when God is moving, we're moving.
Yeah.
And we're looking for God. Lord, I'm waiting for you to move. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
And when God is still, it's a good chance to say, when they were still, they were walking and marching. So if they were going to pray and offer up sacrifices, they had to stop, set up the temple, set up the courtyard, do all these things. That's why all of them had a role. And then they could go in and worship God and offer up sacrifices and everything. When the cloud stops in your life and you have a moment when things aren't moving, this is the time for you to set up the temple. Go get in prayer. Go read your Bible. Remind yourself of what's going on in God. Lord, things aren't working out. Well, now it's time for you to set up the temple until the cloud moves.
Yes, yes.
And then go in the direction that the cloud is going in. That's God. Mm. These people in the 11th chapter, the only people in the 11th chapter are the people who obtained a good report. They're the people that were saved in the wilderness, as Paul says, that God was pleased with. And here's the thing about them that makes them different. 13. These all died, 11 and 13, in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now, promises here refers to the people who started from Abel on, didn't see Christ coming. And the people up to this point that he talks about, when he talks about Abraham and all them, they didn't even go into heaven when they died. They went into paradise.
Yes.
But they saw Christ coming. And in their day, the Messiah didn't come. The Christ didn't come. The person we know as Jesus didn't come. The Word didn't become incarnate and become the Son of God in their time.
Right, yes.
But because they had faith in his coming, it was accounted unto them as if he had already come.
Oh, right, right.
As if it was already done. They had faith in that. He says, but they saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. They were sure of them. When the, you know, in the psalm that talks about thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night or the enemy by day and so forth and so on. Yeah. Hey, this was, you know, he had taken them out of Egypt, and it is true that they shouldn't have had to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Neither should you. Neither should I.
Yeah, true.
Our 40 years in the wilderness of toiling and doing whatever before we are settled with God and reach some manner of continuous peace. I didn't say peace in the earth. I mean peace between us and God.
Yes.
So that we continue and we have enough faith in God that we're not in and out. It shouldn't take us 40 years to get there or 40 years being a representative time, real for them, but representative for us. It shouldn't take us that long to get there, but if it does take us 40 years in this case, or 70 years as it was in Babylon, it is us that is causing the time delay, not God.
Yes. It's us, yes.
God planned to bless them in the first 3 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About a month and a half, they were at the border of Canaan. But they couldn't go in because they kept saying, you know, because of unbelief. Because of trust in God, I don't know how they came to believe that somehow they were responsible for getting themselves to that point, since I know none of them could take credit for parting the Red Sea or the water from the rock and so forth and so on. Just like for us, again, I have a difficult time understanding why people won't have God, since you know you don't keep your heart beating and you don't keep yourself breathing. And, and many of us, most of us, especially in the house of God, if we can get you there, we've been through so many things that if it had not been for God, we wouldn't have come out. But the devil has given people an idol God is called luck.
Yes. Yeah.
Your idol is luck.
Yeah.
And whatever you want to call it, luck. Well, it's just my good luck. Well, good luck. The God smiled on me that day. Fate was on my side, and so forth and so on. Why don't you just say, but God had mercy.
Mercy, yes.
And you can't bring it out. You know, you just can't form the words to say the true God delivered me.
Yeah.
And God kept me. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Are you living? And no one can explain why you are and how you came out of that accident and why you weren't killed and how this isn't and so forth and so on. The God of mercy has kept you.
Yeah.
And so here they were all this time, and they could never get themselves around to worshiping the true God in any. Some of them could, but not enough of them. Some of them could, but not enough of them. And so God had to keep them, and it took them 40 some years before they could go in. But for those who from Abel on who trusted in God, they were persuaded of God. They were sure He was God, and they embraced them.
Yes,
embraced them. Now, it isn't Moses they embraced. It's not Abraham they embraced. It's God they embraced.
Yes.
We like to embrace people. And we like to empower people.
Mm.
And we like to enable people. Don't you know, it is good to say to someone, I really appreciate you praying for me. But then you have to tell the truth. The Lord answered my prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
And the emphasis has to be on the Lord answered my prayer.
Yes.
Not that you prayed. Yes. I appreciate you praying for me. Thank you so much for your prayer. I pray you'll always do it. And I'll even say something else. God hears you when you pray.
Amen.
But the emphasis is on God hears you when you pray.
Right. Yes.
And the emphasis is on God heard your prayer.
Right.
And the emphasis is on God healed me. And God came in. Thank you so much for praying for me because God really came in. And God really worked things out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope you're going to continue to pray for me because when you pray, God hears me. God hears you.
Yeah.
And I thank God for the miracle. And the bottom line has to be God.
Yeah.
It can't come to be one of these things where I'm going through and I just got to get to Bishop Smith. No,
yeah.
You got to get to God.
God.
It's
yeah.
good to call me if you could reach me and if my phone is, but here's the point. Here's the point. God knows you're going through, and if God lets my phone be dead, he's trying to tell you, you need to pray yourself.
Oh, yeah.
God is not going to have you suffer because I didn't answer my phone.
Right, yes, yeah.
We have to grow to the point where we're depending and leaning on God.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't ask people to pray for you. I want everybody praying for me. You should want everybody praying for you. But if God doesn't, it doesn't hinder your blessing or mine because one of us was working today and didn't get to prayer.
Yeah.
It doesn't hinder your blessing or mine because one of us just didn't obey the Holy Ghost and didn't get to prayer.
Yes.
And if you're trying to get to someone to call them, you know, or whatever, because you're trying, I'm really going through it. I just need to call Bishop. No, you need to call God.
Yeah.
Because if you dialed one number and that wasn't answered, and you dialed another number and that wasn't answered, what are you going to do? Give up on God? No. Don't you know God upholds all things by the word of his power?
Yeah.
Don't you know that by him all things consist?
Yeah.
Don't you know that God knows whether or not that phone's going to be answered or not?
Yeah.
Why don't you know? It's God.
Yes.
They were persuaded and they embraced him. You know, they embraced the promise that they had.
Yeah.
Embraced
yeah.
him. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They made up their mind. We're no longer even citizens of the earth. We're
yes.
citizens of heaven.
Yes.
And we belong to God. We belong
yes.
to God.
Yes.
This is the reason why they weren't supposed to have a king. Because a king would come along, as Samuel tried to tell him. He's going to demand your allegiance.
That's right.
And he's
yes.
going to demand your dedication.
Yes.
Stay away from preachers, teachers, pastors, elders, bishops, and anybody
yes.
else that demands your allegiance.
Yeah, that's right.
It's God who should have your allegiance. And when people
yes.
start doing things, hey, you just depend on me. Just depend on me. Hey, look.
No.
One other word there. It's God. They need to keep pointing you to God. They need to keep handing you off to God.
Yes.
They need to be a great leader because they need you to
God. Yes.
The first thought that should come to you when you get in trouble is not Bishop Smith. It should be God.
That's right. Amen.
And then you should say, I need someone praying with me. Who can I call?
Yes.
Now Bishop Smith. Now
yes.
Elder Smith. Now Elder Reed. Now whoever, ever. But the thought should come, oh, I got to get to God.
Yes.
When things are not going right, the thing comes to my mind, I got to get to
God.
Yes. Sooner or later, you'll grow to a point where you are, it's like we are in our own houses that we own. We used to be in Mama's house and Daddy's house, and something happened. We call Mama and we call Daddy, but then we bought our own house, and
yes.
something happens to your house. You're the one.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to do the fixing.
Yeah.
You have to do. It's the same thing. God will get you to a point after a while that when things go wrong, you have to get to God.
Yes.
So he says, and I'm finishing now. He says that they persuade them, for they didn't say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country or they seek a place or
yes.
another country,
mm-hmm.
another setting.
Yes.
The planet heaven. But truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have opportunity to return. These are the ones in the wilderness who kept saying, Caleb and Joshua, We can go up. The people who couldn't make it couldn't get Egypt off their mind. They felt more comfortable in Egypt than they did in God. Their comfort was in Egypt. For some of us, your comfort, you know, your comfort is in, you know, when we were coming up, comfort's in sin and in a sinful place. This is the reason why when people are saved, I'm not saying that when you're saved you have to stop having any friends, you have to turn away from family, have to do all this, but they have to stop being your comfort.
Yes, yeah.
They're not in God. They have to stop being who you run to. You, at some point in time, it has to shift so that they are there and you respect them and you love them and they're still good friends, but there's a, but the place of confidence or whatever that you placed in them now goes to God. And the reliance and whatever you had on them now goes to God. And if you won't do that and you keep them in the same place they were, it won't be long before you'll want to go back to Egypt.
Yeah, that's right.
The person that you are, I'm pretty much done. Is there another line on there? I think that's it for tonight.
Yeah.
I'll read the last one. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The person that we are. When the Lord saved me, I was born again, I became a new creature. He saved me, I'm born again, I'm a new creature. Saved me, born again, new creature. That gives me access to the blood.
Yes.
I am a partaker of his powerful death, burial, and resurrection. Yes. That's the saving grace. That's the saving power.
Yes.
That gives me access to the Holy Ghost who dwells in me. This soul and this body are still in training to be a citizen of heaven. And much unruliness. This is why basic training in the military is so rigorous. At least it used to be. I don't know what it is now. I guess maybe it's now psychological drill or whatever. But it has to be brought into subjection or brought under the Holy Spirit's rule.
Yes.
But God is a loving God, so he doesn't whip you into line.
Yeah.
He reasons you into line.
Yes, yes.
And he confirms himself by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you must make a choice whether you will follow him or not.
Mm, yeah.
And he puts up with us, and as the word long suffering, he has much patience and bears
long
with
us. Yes.
Not because of the worth that I have, it's not the worth that I have in myself. It's the worth and the love that God has for me. God saved me because of the value that God places on me.
Yeah.
God sent his son to die for me, not because of how great I think I am. Let a man not think more highly of himself than he ought, but let him think soberly as God has given to every man the measure of faith. God is the person who thinks highly of me.
Yeah.
He thought so much about me that he gave his only begotten son to die for me.
Yeah.
God is the person who places a value on me.
Yeah.
This is what makes it so heinous and so evil when people kill themselves. When you kill yourself, you don't value yourself.
No.
If you won't come to God, you don't place much value on yourself.
Right.
If you'd rather drink liquor than have the Holy Ghost calm you and settle you down, you don't have much value in yourself.
No. Yes.
If you allow yourself to just be ruined by the world, you don't place much value on yourself.
Yes.
But God does.
Yes.
How much value does he place on us? That no matter how despicable you are, we were, we how we were, when we came to him, we weren't worthless to him.
Right.
We were worthless in the world. The only value we had was because God wanted us.
Yeah.
The only thing about us that was redemptive. God wanted us.
Yeah.
He created us. He wanted us. He wanted us redeemed. Yeah. God wanted us redeemed. If it wasn't for God wanting us to be redeemed and we wanted ourselves redeemed, there wouldn't be churches. There'd be churches everywhere, because if we want to be redeemed, if people want to be redeemed, my God, we have to build as many churches as we build stores and housing complexes.
Yeah.
Or more. It's not people who want to be redeemed, it's God.
Yes.
God values us. Yeah. I want everybody tonight, you know, you need to stay safe, because you might not think, I don't know about myself, you know, I done let myself down so many times and haven't we all?
Yes.
Well, some people won't say that either, but then when you become reasonable, you'll find out that, hey, you're not that great in and of yourself. I have one single redeeming quality dwelling in me, and that's the Holy Ghost. I'm holy because he dwells in me. I'm not holy because, I mean, he has made me holy. It's not something I've worked myself up to. And if you think yourself holy because of what you're doing, you're a lawkeeper.
Yeah.
You obey God because the Holy Ghost dwells in you. He is the one who causes you to be holy. Jesus is our righteousness. We are made righteousness through him because of his right living, his right standing in God, his sinlessness in God. And God makes us a partake of his righteousness. He was made to be sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God in him.
Yes.
So all that we have is through Christ. So God is the one who places a value on me. God wants me saved. God wants me saved. When I was an enemy, God wanted me saved.
Yes.
When I was weak, God wanted me saved.
Yes.
Everybody standing. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let us never say we wish we had never come.
Yes.
Oh, God, if we've ever thought it or said it, Lord, please forgive us. Wash us and cleanse us. Lord, let us know the value of being in God. Lord, let us never think, Lord, that we were better off in sin. Lord, some days might be better than others, but every day in God is better than a day in sin.
Yes.
For Lord, in God, in thee, O Lord, in you, O Lord, we have hope. Yes. And Father, in you, we have eternal life. And if we never have another good day on earth, Lord, we have eternal life in you. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. But Lord, we know that even on earth, you give us good days.
Yeah.
You give us good things to eat and great things to do. And you keep us in your love and in your care, oh God. Lord, we cannot say that you have not kept us because you haven't. Mm-hmm. Lord, we cannot say that you have not given us joy because you've done that.
Yeah.
Lord, we cannot say that you haven't given us peace because you've done that.
Yes.
Lord, we cannot say that you've encouraged us when we were discouraged. You didn't encourage us because, Lord, you did. You lifted us when we were down. You brought us out, Lord, when we were under.
Yes.
And, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. You are a great God and a mighty God. You're always right. You know exactly what to do at all times and all situations. Lord, we glorify your name. We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who's our great high priest, Lord, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens, O God. We thank you for your great, precious Holy Spirit, O God, who keeps us. Lord, we're kept by your power divine. Lord, we would leave you except for the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and keeps us in thy love and in thy care. Oh, God, we worship you. Lord, we did not seek you out, but Lord, you sought for us. Lord, we didn't find you, but you found us. Lord, you turned us and brought us and led us and guided us, and we glorify your name. We thank you so much. And now, Lord, we pray, Lord, you move among us. Lord, evermore, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us the bread of life. Lord, give us the word of God. Lord, come in, O God, and fill our spirits with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, brighten our souls. Lord, turn them from all evil, O God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you heal the sick, Lord, and deliver the brokenhearted. Strengthen those, Lord, who are weak, O Lord. And Lord, draw sinners to the cross, O God. Lord, draw men and women out of darkness and be a glorious light. And Lord, those of us who... Lord, in whom you dwell, Lord, let our light be brighter. Give us more of the Holy Ghost, O Lord. I pray, Lord, let our light be brighter. Move in us, Lord, by miracles and by signs and by wonders that men and women would say, what kind of God is this? And, Lord, we would tell them that you're the God who saves and the God who redeems. You're the God of heaven. Lord, you're the God of all creation. Lord, you uphold all things by the word of your power. Lord, we'll tell men and women that you're a glorious God and a great God because you are.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll sanctify your name above all names, O God. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Lord, bless the man tonight, Elder Smith, and Lord Elder Rogers, and all those that are sick with any discomfort. Lord, bless all those, Lord, be with Chandra tonight, and be with India tonight, and be with Sister Sophia tonight, and all those, Lord, who need you in any way.
Yes.
Lord, bless every one of us. Lord, bless Antoine, all those who tune in. Lord, bless all the saints of Promise Church.
Yes.
All the saints of Emmanuel and all the saints of all the churches that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, if there are the people in the church that's in Christ Jesus, bless us tonight.
Bless us, Lord.
Lord, add to our number and multiply us. Lord, hear promise, Lord, multiply us. And Lord, we need a financial blessing and promise and not a small. Lord, we need you to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we have not room enough to receive. Lord, we need to pay for this building and pay for so many other things, oh God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, O God.
Yes, yes.
Lord, send it in, oh God. Yes. Touch Billy Smith's heart or whoever's heart you need to touch. Lord, and make a way for us. And Lord, above all things, Lord, save people in this place. Lord, anoint us to preach the word of God that men and women would be saved. Give us a word for the weary in season, a word to save, a word to deliver.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his